glad to see you here tonight, and we will give you a very warm welcome. Thank you for coming, and remind you that the meetings will continue throughout the week, except Saturday, at the same time at 8 o'clock, and we trust that you will give your soul a chance if you're not saved. These things are vital. These things are important. Gospel meetings like this are not just held to entertain people. They're held that men and women might understand their need of the salvation that God has provided, because time is short and eternity is real, and these things are so vital. So try and get along every night to hear the gospel. We've often made the comment that those who get the blessing are those who give their soul a chance for eternity and are here to hear what God the Lord will say every night. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs and chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, and we'll read the first verse only. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I think that's a very solemn verse in the Bible. I'll read it again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now come over with me, please, to the Epistle to the Romans and chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And again at verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. The Epistle to the Hebrews, please, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And again at verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or that they should slip by us. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Verse 3 tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now God will bless these portions of his word that we have read together. in the opening part of the meeting for a short time, I would like to point out particularly, it seems that God by His Spirit has put upon my heart this solemn verse in Proverbs chapter 29 and 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I believe that when these Proverbs were written, the man that wrote them had some insight into what was going to transpire down through the ages. Because the proverb that was written back in those days is very applicable today in connection with the preaching of the gospel. I read over in Hebrews chapter 2 to point out that the same implications are there when the writer says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And the reason that God would reprove sinners today and would reprove men and women, it is that He might in His goodness bring them to the place of repentance where they'll desire salvation more than anything else in the world. After all, as we've said nightly, there is nothing more important in the universe of God than the salvation of your precious soul. God has given you a precious soul, the real individual, the real person that dwells within that tabernacle of clay, is going to live on and on as long as God sits on heaven's throne. When God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, we read, man became a living soul. And God has given you something that is going to exist eternally, and it's either going to be in the joys of heaven, or it's going to be in the torments of hell forever and forever. And for that reason, we believe it is vital, it is absolutely important that men and women, young people and older ones as well, give heed to the voice of the Spirit of God, who would seek to bring you to that place where in the goodness of God you would repent of your sin and turn to the One who died for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. So great salvation, I want to tell you, friend, that the greatest thing that ever happened in the universe of God was not the creation of man, marvelous as that was from the hand of Almighty God, but the greatest thing, friend, was the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and that He who was the Creator and the Sustainer of all things came into a sinful world in order that He might make His lonely pilgrim way to Calvary, that sinless, spotless, eternal One went to the place called Calvary, and there, in drops of precious blood, paid redemption's price that sinners might not be in hell for all eternity. But I want to point out tonight, because I'm speaking perhaps particularly to some who have heard the gospel maybe many, many times. If you're here and you're a stranger to the gospel and you haven't heard us preaching nightly, then, friend, we trust that even as some of the things are said tonight in connection with the gospel, you will understand that the vital thing in your life, in your experience, whether you've been acquainted with it for a long time, or whether you have been acquainted with it only a very short time, or even if it's the first time that you've heard the gospel, you might turn to the One who died for sinners upon Calvary and trust Him as your personal Savior. I remember hearing about our brother, Mr. Frank Piercy's mother. He's likely told it many times himself. His mother came out to hear the gospel once in her life. Well, I shouldn't put it that way. The first time in her life that she came out and heard the gospel, she was spoken to and dealt with by the Spirit of God in such a way that when she went home that night, she got down on her knees by the side of her bed, and before she rose from her knees, she was a new creature in Christ. She was on the way to heaven and glory. She had found Christ as her Savior. I don't know why it is that some seem to think that they've got to go through weeks and weeks of gospel meetings sometimes weeks and weeks of conviction, weeks and weeks of torment and trouble of mind. Really, friend, if a person understands where they are in the sight of a thrice holy God, it's a matter of turning from your sin, turning from your evil ways, and turning to the one who there on Calvary's tree, in all the love of his heart, gave himself a ransom for us, suffered and bled and died for the sinner, paid for the sins of a guilty world. When he suffered on the tree, and salvation could be yours tonight if you're willing to grasp it and to take it and to receive Christ as your Savior. We read these solemn words, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I like to think of four statements here in this little verse. He that being often reproved, that tells me of the goodness of God. You may not feel all the time that it's very good to be treated the way God sometimes has to treat sinners. But I want to tell you, friend, that the goodness of God, we read in Romans chapter 2, leads men to repentance. His goodness, his forbearance, his kindness and his love is to bring sinners to himself. And it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. That's why he reproves. Then we read these words, hardeneth his neck, hardeneth his neck. That's what I would call the badness, or perhaps the perverseness, or the impenitence of sinners who refuse to hear and stiffen themselves against God. And like Job chapter 33, where God says, "Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters." It seems as though people strive against God and fight against the gospel, and yet all the time God in his long-suffering goodness wants to lead you to repentance and give you a blessing. Then we have read of the sureness of judgment. What does it say? Shall suddenly be destroyed. And then we're reminded of the hopelessness of escape. He says, without remedy, no escape if you die without Christ. He that being often reproved. We say this is the goodness of God. You know, if you want a picture of the goodness of God, you can look back in the Old Testament and see God's dealings with his earthly people, Israel. Time after time after time after time, sending them prophets, sending them men that would draw them back to himself and try and get them back to the God that provided for them and that kept them and saved them from their enemies and all the things that were done for them. Yet, there was no repentance on the part of Israel. It's like the parable where the Lord said, "Last of all, I will send unto them my son. Surely they will reverence him." And friend, God sent his only son into this world. And what did they do? They said, "Away with him. We'll not have this man to reign over us." And they took him outside Jerusalem and nailed him to Golgotha's tree. But God continues to reprove. God continues to deal. And we could look at many instances where God has dealt with people down through the ages. God speaketh once, yea twice, man perceiveth it not. Isn't it strange? I really believe, I'm convinced, that all the experiences that happen to an individual, they come from the hand of God. For those of us who are believers, we're convinced that God deals with us. And there's nothing that happens in the life of a believer that God doesn't have a purpose in. And for that reason, we as believers are exercised, or we should be, about all the details of our life and why these things happen sometimes. God wants to bring us closer to himself. God deals with unconverted people just the same. And those things that come into the life of an individual, those circumstances that you don't understand, what does God allow them for? God allows those circumstances to make you conscious that there is a Creator, that there is a God to whom you are responsible. And God is looking for response from His creatures. And He wants men and women to take notice of the fact that He gave His Son to die for them at Calvary. And that there is salvation for them if they come to Him. I've noticed that word reprove, he that being often reproved, it really has several different ideas in it. One of the meanings for the word reprove there is the idea of reasoning. And God wants to reason with sinners. We're reminded of that in Isaiah chapter 1. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants to come right down to your level, and He wants to reason with you about this matter of salvation. That's what happened way back in the early days when God came right down to Cain, you remember. When Cain's sacrifice was rejected. When Cain had brought the fruit of his labors to God, but God wasn't satisfied with that. It wasn't that those fruit of his labors weren't worthwhile. There was some value in them, but it wasn't the sacrifice that God was looking for. God had respect unto Abel and to his sacrifice. And why was that? Because he brought the lamb. He brought the little victim, and his blood was shed upon the altar. And God looked down and he saw a life that was given, and that word became an actual fact. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And God saw a little victim's life that flowed out down the sides of the altar in order that sin might be covered until that day when he would send his blessed holy lamb from heaven to die upon Calvary. And the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is that which is effectual in sinners being brought to Christ. Now he says, come now and reason together. When Cain was angry because his sacrifice was refused, I believe that God came right down to the tent where Cain was. And God said, Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, all you've got to do is go out and take that little lamb, the same as Abel did. Cain, drop your pride. Cain, forget about all those things that you've done that you think are pleasing to me, and just bring the little sacrifice that I require and shed the blood, and everything will be well, Cain. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. A man eventually marked for judgment because he refused. Cain would not be reproved. Cain would not be reasoned with. And God would reason with you tonight. Is it reasonable that you should know your sins forgiven, that you should go to heaven? Is it reasonable, friend, that you should go on in the path you're going on, treading on that rotten covering, shall I say, that could give away at any time, and your soul could drop into the very flames of hell? Not reasonable. God wants to reason with you. And though your sins be scarlet, they can be as white as snow. They can be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. But that word reprove, it also means to convict. To convict. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in the world today. When the Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven and he went back to the Father, he said, I will send the Comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit into the world, and he shall reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And the Holy Spirit of God is in this world today convicting men and women of their sin. That's what we are. That's what I am, a sinner. Convicting man of righteousness, that's what I lack, the righteousness of Christ. Convicting them of judgment, that's what I deserve because of my sin. And friend, the Spirit of God is in this gospel meeting tonight. And He would convict men and women of the fact that they have sinned against God, that their sins are taking them down the broad road to hell, and that they need a salvation that God has provided, that great salvation. Friend, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no other way to heaven. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then that word, reprove, it also means to rebuke. And I sometimes think that that would fit in with the circumstances that God allows in our lives to stop us, to keep us from going on in our way, on our pathway that's leading down to a lost eternity. Friend, God wants to stop you tonight. God wants you to think about these eternal things. God does not want you to plunge on into everlasting judgment. I remember driving through the state of Minnesota, and every few miles there was a big sign on the side of the road. Two died here. Then I came to a railroad crossing, and it would say on a big sign, five died here. And then I come to another sharp bend in the road, and it said, three died here. Why do you suppose they put those signs there? Some people didn't like those signs there. But people needed to be reminded of the carelessness of their driving and the fact that anything could happen along the roadway, and they were to stop and take warning. And my friend, God puts His warning signs in your pathway. He wants to stop you plunging on to eternal judgment. Is that not the goodness of God? What was it we read there in Romans chapter 2? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Oh, friend, God in His goodness sometimes bring circumstances into our lives to make us stop. Some have heard me tell before, I suppose I won't get through these meetings without mentioning more than once, that experience when I lay upon a bed with the temperature 106 degrees, wondering what the doctor was going to say. My parents just standing outside the doorway of the room. And I can see that doctor yet as he made his way out shaking his head. And I want to tell you, I perked up to hear everything I could hear. And just as he got around the corner of the doorway, I heard him say these words, "There's no hope. There's no hope." Now friend, how would you feel? What would be your thoughts if tonight you were lying in a bed of sickness and the doctor was saying, no hope? He meant no hope of recovery. I knew something more than the doctor knew, that as we sang tonight, I was out of Christ without a Savior. And there was no hope for me to get to heaven the way I was. And I turned over on the pillow and in a cold sweat, I cried to God. I said, oh God, if you'll raise me up from this bed of sickness, I'll attend to this matter, because nothing else is more important. I knew that. And I didn't want to die and go down to hell. Friend, he that being often reproved, Oh, I thank God that I didn't harden my neck. I desire salvation. Isn't it sad when people can come and hear the gospel? The tender entreaties of a loving Savior, the thunderings of judgment, and not be moved and go away, disregarding the warnings of God. We told you about two young men. He listened to the gospel, I think it was either 5 or 6 weeks, almost every night. 2 weeks afterward, you would think nothing had penetrated those young men's minds or hearts. I'm sure something must have got through in all those nights of gospel meetings. And yet here they are. They've been imbibing strong drink. They're only young fellows, still going to high school. Wanted some of the girls to get in the car with them and go for a drive, and they wouldn't get in. They said, "You fellows have been drinking." They tried to deny it, and then they took off. They just got down the roadway about a mile, and it just happened there was it was about this time of year, and sometimes there's, after a slight rain, there's a bit of black ice around, and they struck a little patch of black ice. Their little car turned sideways, and just then a truck came over the hill, and they were right in the pathway, into the side of that little car, and two young men, 18 years of age and 19 years of age, and they went out into eternity. And I want to tell you, I had to take the funeral, and I didn't know what to say. Oh, I preached the gospel. The two young men who sat and heard the word of God often reproved, "Hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Oh, may God speak to your heart tonight and make you stop and think about this important matter and get it settled before it's too late. I could tell you many incidents like that. Not only does this word mean to rebuke, it means to instruct. And friend, we would like to instruct you tonight in the gospel that there is salvation for you, that the day of grace is still with us, and that God in His goodness has provided a salvation from sin in the person of His well-beloved Son, and there's salvation for you tonight, if you really want it more than anything else in the world. Dear man that used to make the announcements at our conference up in Labrador, that conference just finished last night, he's now home in heaven, dear Pierce Linstead. And God was dealing in the early days, and souls were getting saved. Dear Pierce was coming to the gospel meetings, an older man, had a family. I think someone preached the gospel from Luke chapter 15, and they were speaking about the coin that was lost to the woman, and how the furniture had to be moved in order to discover that coin. And every corner and crevice was looked at to try and find it. And the preacher was mentioning how that sometimes God has to move furniture in our lives. And he got home from the meeting that night. And just after he got home, one of his daughters had to be taken away yonder to the nursing station with a severe sickness. And the next morning, another of his daughters was taken away, more severely sick. And he was given to understand that she might not live. And dear Pierce got down before God, because he said, "God is moving my furniture. And the next night he went out to the gospel meeting and he stayed after the meeting. He went out and then he came back in again. He couldn't go home. He said, I've got to get it settled tonight. And he came back in. And when he left the next time, he was enjoying the salvation of God. He had received Christ as his Savior. Oh, friend, listen, we haven't time to go into the rest of this verse. The impenitence of sinners, the sureness of judgment, the hopelessness of escape. Oh, friend, listen, we would plead with you tonight as the meeting continues, make your choice for Christ. He that being often, often reproved, hardeneth his neck. Maybe there's someone in our meeting tonight, and you sat in gospel meetings we had here 5 years ago. I don't know, but maybe you've sat in other gospel meetings. Tonight you're not saved. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. May God help you to flee to Christ as the meeting continues, for his name's sake.